Hold on to your wings, Tyra Banks. This is whalebone made alluring. History's unmentionables are now being unveiled in a new calendar from the Costume Society of America. Underwear Beneath Historic Fashions is the latest in a series of calendars that the Society puts together each year. 2003 will feature luxurious silks and lace, muslins and crepes that were worn, and laundered, of course, from all over the United States. Next year's calendar comes corseted with its own controversy because some scholars wonder about the place of knickers, bustles, and thongs in history. Sally Queen edited the catalog, and she joins us in our studios. Miss Queen, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell me, when you looked for historic underwear, do you look for, like, Abraham Lincoln's skivvies or a pair of particularly nice boxer shorts that could have been worn by anyone?
The calendar is a fun way to look at both famous people clothing as well as everyday clothing. People would like to see the really fancy. We like the everyday as well as the fancy.
Were you looking for any styles in particular that you felt had to be spotlighted, had to be preserved?
We were definitely looking for some of the first time that underwear became outerwear, such as the selection from the Cowgirl Museum and Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. where the rodeo performer has this sparkly rhinestone bra.
I've conveniently opened our calendar to that very page, as a matter of fact. And it is, in fact, a spangly rhinestone brassiere, isn't it?
It is, one with a sheer blouse. And I was quite surprised with the date of 1950. To me, this was surprising, both the date as well as the daringness of it. You're seeing the personal, mm-hmm. the real personal, that radio performer and what she had someone custom make for her and mm-hmm. what she was willing to wear.
You know, one has the impression, if you look at a Victoria's Secrets catalog today, that more attention is being paid now to the role lingerie can have in presenting an alluring appearance. Except when you look through your calendar, you realize that's been going on for some time, hasn't it?
About six centuries.
Underwear was always meant to be seen.
It certainly has had a part in that total appearance that perhaps maybe it's only in the privacy of one's bedroom where it was seen, such as the wedding outfit, the corset matching the color of the wedding dress.
Now, presumably, the only person who's going to see this is the groom at some point.
Correct. In the case of this bride, she was marrying the founder of Warner Brothers, corset manufacturers, and they had been in business for about 20 years when the bride married one of the founders of the company.
This is Fairfield, Connecticut, I gather.
Fairfield, Connecticut.
Because the wedding was in Bridgeport, and I should explain, when you take a look at this page of the calendar, this is Ms. June. the corset is in kind of a creamy colored, silk satin corset is what it says, which seems to be more or less the same material of the wedding dress. But they're beautifully coordinated, aren't they?
Beautifully coordinated. So a very special time in a bride's life.
Yeah. So this wedding 130 years ago. My gosh, look at these lovely little flowers that are at the...
Those are orange blossoms.
Oh, okay.
And they were a typical decoration on a wedding dress of the period.
They're not flowers, they're orange blossoms?
They're orange blossoms. It's a wax.
I beg your pardon. I don't know what it says that I know more about lingerie than I do about flowers.
That's why we're here, to educate you as well.
Mostly. That's what this whole damn show is about sometimes. Now, has women's underwear over the years grown, I don't want to say less elaborate, but there seems to be less of it, let's put it that way, less in the individual garment?
I think part of that trend is also conditioning the body. The body has become somewhat of the foundation that mm-hmm. we used to rely on cloth and whalebone to do for us.
Yeah.
The choice is, do we want to spend time 3 hours a day in the gym to sculpt the body, or do we want to put on a piece of cloth that helps sculpt the body?
One can't help but notice that there's a lot less in the exhibit that concerns men. Now, is that because men just have less interesting lingerie?
Less interesting lingerie, as well as American collections. And these feature one collection per month, as you said, Miss June, with Fairfield Historical Society. The majority of garments in collections are women's clothing.
I wonder, what can we learn from underwear of times past about the people who wore it?
Well, clothing is really culture at the most personal level. And from that look at, say, a bustle or a stay. You can look at then the culture where people lived and how they may have walked and what they valued and what their life was like at the most personal level. Because clothing matters in that total society. Mark Twain said, "Naked men rarely have influence on a society."
He was a very wise man.
We still use clothing. Clothing still matters in that.
Adam had a lot of influence in history, didn't he?
Exactly. I think there was the beginning right there.
Okay. But of course, he put on a fig leaf. I get your point. Right. Had he not put on the fig leaf, who knows what would have happened. Ms. Green, this has been fascinating.
Thank you very much for having me today.
Va-va-voom, too. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Sally Queen is editor of the 2003 calendar, forthcoming, called Underwear Beneath Historic Fashions. It's published by the Texas Tech University Press. And for more about Historic Fashions calendar series, you can come to our website, npr.org.